assigned Psalms 84. I want to read the text to you at this time. Let's all stand as we read. I like for folks to stand as the Word of God is read. He says, "How admirable are the tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca, that is a valley of tears, valley of lamenting, who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well, and the rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O Lord, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look up on the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked, of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is a man that trusteth in thee." You may be seated. The title of my message today is assigned as a psalm for the house of God. If I was to put a subtitle on this, I would subtitle this, "Why David Longed for the Courts of the Lord." It's at the time of the writing of this song and the singing of this song and the desire to bring this song, David was in hiding from Saul among the sons of Korah. Now, time will not permit me to go into the historical details concerning David's flight, but to develop this text, I must give you a little detail about why David so longed to be in the courts of the Lord. Now, you can go to the book of Chronicles. We don't go there now, but if you study the book of Chronicles, you'll just about find everywhere, about every psalm that David wrote and why they were written. If you go and study the book of Chronicles, and it just happened to be at the time of the writing, David was in Zion, and the court of the house of God was in Gibeon. And he longed for those. He was in flight as Saul was on his heels coming after him. And he was in flight at this time. And David never really felt safe in the place that he was in. Of all of his hiding, he never felt safe there. He felt that there was a safer place to hide. And that was at Gibeon among the common people who worshiped in the courts of the Lord's house. Now, the reason we know this is, again, you can go back to the book of Chronicles. The book of Chronicles will teach you about the worship in the tabernacle, worship in the temple, and how the worship takes place. Even I believe, as the Lord's church has been set up for the same type of worship. But you will see that The king did not worship in the court among the commons. You know, if you look at the setup of the tabernacle and the setup of the temple, they had a court where the common people would come, and that's where they would worship. And then they had a place also in there where the potentates or the kings would come, and they would worship. But David was already been appointed king. That's the reason Saul was chasing him and seeking after him. But the fact is, you see, David said something later on in this psalm that gives us indication that David, right now, the shape that David was in, as one was talking earlier about backsliding, Brother Doug was talking about backsliding. David at this time was not backslidden, but David at this time was longing just to be with the common folks. You know, if he could just be with the common folks. You know, I've known of people, and I'll just bring this in, it's not a part of my message, but you know, I've known people who said, well, you know, they can't go to certain churches because there's too many common people there. And that's the truth. I want to tell you, I remember a man when I was pastor of the Calvary Baptist Church in Cynthiana, Kentucky. I remember a man came to our church and he joined, him, his wife, and three children. And so he joined and then he went back to work. I didn't know it at the time, but he had been promoted to the manager or the head person of the aluminum company that was there, a big company that was there in Cynthiana. And so he came a couple of weeks, and he called me up one day, and he said, Brother Jackson, he said, we can't come back to church. And I said, why? He said, well, we've learned that your church is in the Belmont section. Now, the Belmont section of Cynthiana was where all the housing projects were. That church sat right almost in the middle of housing projects. And, of course, you know where the people came from. And he said, they told me over at the plant that it would not be fitting for me to go there to church, but it would be more fitting for me to go across the river over in the other section of Cynthiana. And there, he said, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go join the First Baptist Church because of my job. Now, let me tell you, it's amazing how that people, you know, a lot of people don't want to worship with common people. They just don't want to do it. I can tell you story after story concerning that, people like that. My brother-in-law was pastor of a mission in the poorest section of the city there in Kentucky. And he was a member of the First Baptist Church. The First Baptist Church sent him out to preach over there, but they told him, they said, now, you go over there to preach, don't you bring those people back over here. Because his church was located on a place called Rat Road. Now, you can imagine why anybody would name anything Rat Road. And so, but he was not allowed to take those people back over to the First Baptist Church. Well, David was sitting here, had been appointed king, and David was longing just to be back with the court and in the courts of the people. Now, when we talk about safety and hiding and safety, I want to say this. I believe that the Lord's church is the safest place for any child of God to be.
Amen.
I believe it's the safest place to be. And certainly David believed that too. Now, David didn't feel safe where he was, but he believed that if he could just get to the court of the people in Gibeon, that he would feel safe there, and the court of the Lord there, that he would feel safe there. Now let me continue on David's longing to the courts of the Lord. Why? David longed for the courts of the Lord. Now, why did he do it? Well, I've got four different things here I want to bring out this morning. And I'm going to bring these out. I probably won't use up my time. But first of all, David's admiration for the tabernacles of the Lord. That's the first thing he says here. First thing he writes in this song is, how admirable are the tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. But what makes them so admirable? To David, what makes them so admirable? I mean, well, what is it about? What is it about the courts of the Lord that was so admirable to David? Well, first of all, I want to say this as we preach this. I want you to some way correlate this with the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I do believe that this is prophecy concerning Christ and His church. I believe it's prophecy concerning Christ and His church. David's history of his people taught him to admire those worship places of his day, which were the tabernacle of the Lord. Now, I know that David had a great desire to build the temple of the Lord, though he was not permitted to do so because of his great sin against the Lord. He was not permitted to build the temple of the Lord. But David knew the system of worship. He knew the system of worship in the tabernacle. He knew the system of worship would be in the temple. And I think through prophecy, just like Zechariah, through prophecy, he knew what would be the system of worship in the Lord's church. You know, and really, they're not a lot different except for the fact is that when Christ came, he united everybody into one congregation, which is the Lord, the Lord's church. And I know I'm not talking about a universal church now. I'm talking about that when he instituted the church, he set up an institution where that the common folks, the rich, those that felt that they were ahead of everyone else, they feel just as safe in the house of the Lord. You know, I tell our people sometimes, you know, some people say, well, I'm just ashamed to do this, or I'm ashamed to do that. Let me tell you something, folks. In one of the Lord's churches, no one will make fun of you for serving the Lord. You can rest assured of that. No one will make fun of you if you're serving the Lord. You know, we have some people, they don't want to say amen. Because they sort of don't want to be a spectacle. But no one will make fun of you in the Lord's house. Just like David here. David realized that if he could just get to the courts of the Lord, he would be saved. There he would not be recognized as a king, but he would be in hiding from Saul and recognized as just a common person. A common person. A common one among the commons. Now, I believe David knew of the Church of the Living God, which in the future, and he included this in his song. He included all this in his song, the mode of worship. What is the mode of worship? The second thing I believe here is that David's longing to worship God. He had a great longing to worship God. He poured out his heart and soul to God just to let him worship with the common people in the courts of the Lord. He was so willing to be in the house of God that he said, for a day in the courts is better than 1,000 days, in other words, anywhere else. You know, he said, to me, the way I feel about it right now, that's a better place for me to go than 1,000 other places. Even better than the beach. Even better than the mountains. Even better than Disney World. Now, yeah, it's better. He said, to be in the courts of the Lord, a day in the courts of the Lord is better than 1,000 days anywhere else. You know, we went to Disney World one time, spent a week. I was miserable one person there was. We We got down there one day, and I told Rhonda, I said, I'm ready to go home. Well, I seen all I want to see. But you know, sometimes I don't want to leave the house of God. My people will tell you sometimes I don't want to come out of the pulpit. I want to tell you, it's a wonderful thing. And he also said, I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. Amen. You know, there was someone standing out there opening the door for us this morning. Brother Barry, I believe it was, wasn't he? Yeah, he's standing to open the door for us this morning. I want to tell you, Brother Barry, you lead singing here. I don't know what else you do here, but that was an admirable job you did out there this morning. Amen. You can't lead singing as good as you opened that door. I can tell you that. You open that door a whole lot better than you lead singing. And he said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper. You know, it's wonderful. Now, during Nehemiah's day, let's talk about worship. During Nehemiah's day, Jerusalem lay in ruins, and the great wall had been compromised, and the people had not worshipped for nearly 70 years. Nearly 70 years they had not worshipped. Now, let me tell you, sometimes, and I don't want to get too far into that today, but sometimes some people can stay out of church a long time. Yeah. And then when you talk to them about coming back, they don't long to come back.
Right.
You might as well let them go. Yeah. I'm serious. Someone that don't long to be in the house of God, someone that don't long to worship in the house of God, they don't need to. I mean, I like Brother David Collier. He said right here in this pulpit back a few years back, y'all had a revival service. Brother David Collier said on the Sunday, I believe it was a Sunday night, but one night. Anyway, Brother David Collier said, he said, you think you have to go to church, but he said it's better if you want to go to church. You know, that's better.
Yeah, he is.
And David's longing here was to the sense that David wanted to go. David was in a position to where he didn't necessarily have to go, but he wanted to go. And I believe sometimes the Lord puts that on our hearts and our mind that we want to go. We want to go. We want to be in the Lord's house. And we want to be serving the Lord. Nehemiah knew. Turn with me to Nehemiah, the 8th chapter. I'm going to read something to you here. Just a minute. I know all of you have read this before, but this is just something that's on my heart today and been on my heart for many, many times as I've been in the pulpit. Nehemiah, the 8th chapter. And I'm not going to try to read all these names, these scribes that... these people that was mentioned here, but I want to bring out a point in this, and it says, all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate, and they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all they could bear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street, and was before the water gate. Now listen to this. He read it from the morning until the midday. Now y'all, what have I got, 30 minutes to preach? Brother John, it's probably taking you morning, midday, read all to 119. Because you as old as I am, and probably all your words start running together and you wouldn't be able to read. But the fact is, they read from the morning until the midday. Now look at this. Before the men and the women, they read it before the men and the women. And those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. Now, I'm not going to read verse 4. Then look at verse 5. Says, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Do you think they would have stood up if they'd known he was going to read it from the morning to the midday? Now, I had y'all stand up as I read this. Some of you, was, I heard some ahs when you got to sit back down. From the morning to the midday, look at this. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, amen, amen. And lifting up their hands, which we're scared to do sometimes, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Verse 8. So they read in the book, in the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. They did not make comments about it. They just read it distinctly. They read exactly what it said. Exactly what it said. And you know, it's already been said. Brother John Prutz already said it this morning. You know, this is all we need. You know, when we preachers, sometimes we get up and we just talk. But all you need is, I tell our people, you know, just listen to the text and you've got the message. Yeah. It's there. Same way with all of it. Just listen to the text. You got the message. Now Nehemiah knew. All these people knew. All these people came all the way here. They hadn't worshipped in 70 years. And boy, I tell you, just as soon as he brought the book out, boy, they all stood up. And I'll tell you something else. They were there waiting on it too.
Yes.
They didn't, none of them come in late. They didn't, none of them come wandering in, you know, and all messed up, don't know where they are half the time. They didn't come in like that. They came in and they were sitting there and they were waiting. They were waiting for the book to be opened. And when the book was opened, they all stood up. And when he began to read, man, you never heard that like the amens. Amen. Jehovah says this. Amen. Jehovah says that. Amen. It was just amen, amen throughout the whole thing. Now, I know that Joel Osteen and all them, they have a little clapping goes on when he finally gets to the verse of Scripture. But I want to tell you, these people shouted amen.
Yeah.
And they were ready to worship. They hadn't worshipped in 70 years. Now you just suppose, you know, we've got, you know, people drive, I think you drive about 185 miles here, didn't you? Somewhere along in that. About 185 miles here. I don't know how far some. I know Brother Doug came pretty good piece from here. And you came here, and it wasn't that far, was it? Now you sit there and tell me the truth. It wasn't that far, was it? Yeah. You felt like it, didn't you? But it really wasn't that far. You know, you can go right here in Georgia. You know, you live anywhere in Georgia, and you're close to one of the Lord's churches. That's right. I heard some people say, well, I can't drive all the way over there. Well, you can too. You drive all the way over there when you go to Disney World. You drive all the way over there when you go to the beach. You drive all the way over there when you go to these places. But I can't drive all the way over there. You know, you're somewhere near where you can worship. True. But what if you were out there somewhere where you long to worship, but you have nowhere, you can't, you don't have anywhere, really don't have anywhere to go. Mm-hmm. You know, we had a man who was a member of our church up there in Kentucky for several years, and he moved from Kentucky down to Albany, Georgia. And when he got down there, he said, I really didn't think when I moved that there wouldn't be no place to go to church around there. And he always said, he said that was the worst move he ever made. Amen. And I want to tell you folks, David was in a place here where he felt that, why am I here?
Right.
Why am I here? I'm fleeing from Saul, and I don't feel safe here. He goes to the next cave over here. I don't feel safe here. He goes to this next place. I don't feel safe here. But the only place I feel safe is in the courts of the Lord. And that's where I long to be. They're admirable places. The Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is an admirable place.
Amen.
It's an admirable place to be. The third thing is David's thoughts concerning those who do dwell in the house of God. Won't you look back at this again in Psalms? I turned away from it, so let me find it back. In Psalms 84, look at this. He said, beginning in verse 4, he said, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, that is, when they leave too. Blessed is a man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca, that is the valley of tears. You know, Landmark Baptist Church has shed a valley of tears in the last couple of weeks. And even when Sister Deborah was sick, you know, a lot of tears were shed. A lot of prayers went up, a lot of tears. This pastor shed a lot of tears in his study over her. But he says, who's passing through the valley of tears, make it a well, and also fill the pools. Cry. When's the last time somebody came to church crying? Oh, I just can't wait to get here. Oh, man, it's been a long haul. I just can't wait to get here. Oh, it's a valley of tears. I tell you. They go from strength to strength, every one of them, in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O Lord of Jacob, Selah. You know, David was in Zion, his brother Doug preached about it. But I tell you, he just longed to be in the courts of the Lord in Gibeon. That's where I need to be. I need to be right there among the common people. Here I am, already been appointed the king of Israel. And he said, I'm fearing for my life already. I tell you, I told somebody here a while back, I wouldn't step down and be president of the United States. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't step down to be a senator. I wouldn't step down to be someone in the House. I tell you, it'd be a step down for us. Because I tell you, as far as I'm concerned, you're sitting right in the highest place there is in this area.
Amen.
That's in the house of God. Amen. What a great place. David's great saying is read to many funerals. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It is there our hearts are prepared, the great feast of His Word. Our bodies, souls, and spirits are anointed with the oil of the Holy Spirit until our cups run over. What a great blessing that is. I tell you, how many of you left the church when your cup was so full it was running over? Oh, I tell you, it's a wonderful thing.
Amen.
It's a wonderful thing. You say, well, I blame it on the preacher. He didn't preach a good message. No, blame it on yourself. You're here for the wrong reason. You came. You didn't come rejoicing.
Amen.
You come to the house of God rejoicing. Rejoicing. I tell you, I said sometimes when people come through the back door back there, you wonder if their whole family got burned up last night or something. They look so unhappy. Look so unhappy. That's like a preacher said one time, had three fellows come in. And he said they looked so sad, so he looked at them and he said, boys, he said, did you lose some of your family last night? And they said, No. He said, well, why are you all so unhappy? He said, the Falcons lost the Super Bowl. You know, I'm going to tell you, wonderful place. Number four, I don't know. I don't even know how much time we got. I never was told. I don't even know how to read this either. David knew what the Lord was to him. He knew what the Lord meant to him. Verse 11. For the Lord is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Amen. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee.
Amen.
Let me ask you today, do you realize the Son of Righteousness? Oh, I tell you, that's a wonderful thing. The S-U-N of righteousness.
Right.
You know, righteousness shines everywhere in the house of God.
Amen.
It shines all over the house of God. The Son of Righteousness does. Which is, that Son of Righteousness is Christ.
Yes.
He rises up on God's elect in the house of God with healing and power in His wings.
Amen.
What the Bible says, Malachi declared, but unto you that fear the name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in His wings.
Yes.
And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves in the stall.
Yes.
Oh, what a great blessing that is. The Son of Righteousness is a light of lives every day.
Yes.
No matter what happens, in Him was life. And the life was the light of men. I tell you, folks, your path is lighted every day. What a great blessing. The shield. He talks about the shield of faith against all the fiery darts of the devil. We worry about what the devil's going to do to us. Man, he's going to fight that battle for us. He's going to fight that battle for us. And the fiery darts of the devil, which are hurled daily, toward God's people. Grace and glory. James says He giveth more grace.
Yes.
Every day. I've told this family, some of them here today, He giveth more grace.
Amen.
You know, you got to ask for it, though.
Sure.
You do. You got to ask for it. He doesn't just automatically give it. You got to ask for it. That's what James said. James said, if you like wisdom, ask.
Right.
And He'll give it to you. You know, he'll give you more grace. When you get in times like these, He'll give you more grace. He sure will. Grace and glory. The Lord sends saving grace. And afterwards supplies an abundant grace to face every day's trials. And much satisfying grace, such as love for the Lord and the brethren. And no good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. And blessed is a man that trusteth in Thee. God's children walk in faith and trust not man or the arm of flesh. They walk in faith. I thank you for your attention.